Penguin Random House Audio presents The Collected Essays of Ralph Ellison, read by Dominic Hoffman, with an introduction by John F. Callahan and preface by Saul Bellow, read by Arthur Morey.
Ralph Ellison. Ralph Waldo Ellison was born in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, on March 1, 1914. His father was a construction foreman and later the owner of a small ice and coal business, who died when his son was three. Ellison and his younger brother, Herbert, were raised by their mother, who worked as a nursemaid, janitress, and domestic, and was active in politics. As a child, he was drawn to music, playing trumpet from an early age and studying classical composition at Tuskegee Institute, under the instruction of William L. Dawson. Of his musical influences, he later said, "The great emphasis in my school was upon classical music, but such great jazz musicians as Hot Lips Page, Jimmy Rushing, and Lester Young were living in Oklahoma City. As it turned out, the perfection, the artistic dedication which helped me as a writer, was not so much in the classical emphasis as in the jazz itself." In July 1936, after his junior year at Tuskegee, Ellison went to New York to earn money for his senior year and to study sculpture, and stayed. In June 1937, his friendship with Richard Wright began and led him toward becoming a writer. Ellison also made the acquaintance of Langston Hughes and the painter Romare Bearden, among others. From 1938 until World War II, he worked on the New York Federal Writers Project of the WPA. Starting in the late 1930s, he contributed reviews, essays, and short fiction to New Masses, Tomorrow, The Negro Quarterly, of which he was for a time managing editor, New Republic, Saturday Review, Antioch Review, Reporter, and other periodicals. During the war, he served in the Merchant Marine, and afterward he worked at a variety of jobs, including freelance photography and the building and installation of audio systems. Over a period of 7 years, Ellison wrote Invisible Man, which was recognized upon its publication in 1952 as one of the most important works of fiction of its time. It was on the bestseller list for 16 weeks and won the National Book Award. Its critical reputation and popularity have only grown in the more than four decades since its publication. Although an excerpt from a second novel was published in Noble Savage in 1960, and seven other selections in various literary magazines between then and 1977. No other long work of fiction has yet appeared under Ellison's name. Shadow and Act, 1964, and Going to the Territory, 1986, collect essays and interviews written over more than 40 years. From 1955 to 1957, Ellison was a fellow of the American Academy in Rome. Returning to the United States, he taught and lectured at a wide range of institutions, including Bard College, the State University of New York at Stony Brook, the University of Chicago, Rutgers, Harvard, Brown, and Yale. He was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1969, the Chevalier de l'Ordre des Arts et Lettres in 1970 by the French Minister of Culture, André Malraux, and the National Medal of Arts in 1985. He was a charter member of the National Council on the Arts and Humanities, and from 1970 to 1979 was Albert Schweitzer Professor in the Humanities at New York University. After a brief first marriage, Ellison married Fanny McConnell in 1946. For more than 40 years, until his passing on April 16, 1994, they lived on Riverside Drive in Harlem. Posthumous editions of Ellison's work, edited and with an introduction by John F. Callahan, include The Collected Essays of Ralph Ellison, 1995, Flying Home and Other Stories, 1996, and Juneteenth, 1998, each published by Random House, Inc. Preface. Saul Bellow. Ralph Ellison, who died last year at the age of 80, published only one novel in his lifetime. In 1953, at a Bard College symposium dinner attended by foreign celebrities, Georges Simenon, who sat at our table, asked Ellison how many novels he had written, and when he learned that there was only one, he said, "To be a novelist, one must produce many novels. Ergo, you are not a novelist." The author of hundreds of books, writing and speaking at high speed, was not in the habit of pausing to weigh his words. Einstein, a much deeper thinker, had said in reply to a sociable lady's question about quantum theory, "Why, under such and such conditions, was there only one quantum?" "But isn't one a lot, madam?" In Ralph's case, it certainly was a lot. Simenon remains readable and enjoyable, but Inspector Magret is finally like an overly exploited mine. Novels in the suspense genre developed by Simenon can be considered as the chapters of a single fat novel. Magret belongs to a large family of cops or private eyes, geniuses of detection like Sherlock Holmes or the heroes of Dashiell Hammett, Raymond Chandler, et al. These gifted men, working honorably at the writer's trade. Ellison did no such thing. He had a calling, not a trade, and what we witness in Invisible Man is the discovery by an artist of his true subject matter. Some 50 years after it was published, this book holds its own among the best novels of the century. Toward the end of the '50s, the Ellisons and the Bellows lived together in a spooky Dutchess County house with the Catskills on the western horizon and the Hudson River, the lordly Hudson, as Paul Goodman has described it, in between. Ralph was then teaching at Bard College, 2 miles down the road. Ralph's wife, Fanny, had a city job. She was, I think, chief fundraiser for Gordon S. Seagrave, the Burma surgeon. My children spent their holidays with me, and occasionally my aunt Jenny came up from New York. Fanny arrived regularly on Friday evening and returned on Sunday afternoon. As writers are natural solitaries, Ralph and I did not seek each other out during the day. A nod in passing was enough. We had our daily tasks. When he was not writing, Ralph tended his African violets in the emptiness of the sunny ballroom, watering them with a turkey baster. He tinkered in the driveway with his Chrysler engine. He walked in the woods with the black Labrador retriever he had bought from John Cheever. Cheever didn't live nearby. He was in Ossining. But we did have literary company in Dutchess County. Richard Revere lived in Rhinebeck. Near him was Fred Dupuy. Gore Vidal had bought a fine house on the riverbank just beyond the New York Central tracks. Ralph and I, in our slummy mansion, could not entertain these far more prosperous literary country squires. The Dupuys and the Reveres gave us dinner from time to time, and Gore Vidal viewed us with a certain ironic pity. Socially, we didn't exist for him. A complex character, Gore, a man of the world in many worlds. "A campy patrician," said Ralph. We were as amused by him as he was by us. As for me, well, Max Weber described the Jews as aristocratic pariahs. Ralph himself had an aristocratic demeanor. No one in our Dutchess County group was altogether free from pride. Gore had genealogical claims and money as well. Dupuy had his affinities with Henry James and Marcel Proust. The presence of a Jew or a Negro in any group is apt to promote a sense of superiority in those who, whatever else, are neither Jews nor Negroes. The only genuine Democrat in our literary set was Dick Revere. Ralph had the bearing of a distinguished man. Proper pride, Aristotle might have called it, an appropriate kind of avowal. A man should claim his due. And why shouldn't he have thought well of himself? A young Negro from Oklahoma City and Tuskegee? He had set his sights high. He had learned from Malraux as well as from Richard Wright, and with Invisible Man, he had earned the right to be taken seriously. Unlike the majority of his Negro contemporaries, he was not limited in his interests to the race problem. He was an artist. In the Tivoli, New York mansion, locally known as the Larrabee Farm, most of the great rooms were empty. We did not seek each other out. We occasionally passed each other in the bare corridors. Our habitual meeting place was the flagstone-paved kitchen at breakfast and again at cocktail.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?